to look too closely at how things are or how they might be. Other people are the opposite. They can't look away. They have to do something, come what may. Oh, that's the kind of person that started up the groups that grew all over Denmark with a socialist youth and the sword called to join the ISM and travel to the occupied West Bank with them. Gather round me, friends, I'll tell you a story. Sing a song of solidarity. Travel, and sometimes they might go to a place like Palestine and witness the sight of what the soldiers do, how horribly they act. And some of those among us are the ones who go back. Gather round me, friends, I'll tell you a story. Sing a song.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, last week, Palestinians at home and around the world commemorated Nakba 78 in remembrance of the grinding nearly 80 years of war and occupation they've suffered at the hands of Zionism. But now, the ethnic cleansing has accelerated in Gaza and the West Bank, along with expansion into neighboring Syria and Lebanon, into what the United Nations yesterday charged was a policy of eradication. More ominously, perhaps, among Israel's allies, its aiders and abettors, diplomatic, financial, and materiel support has expanded to now include suppression through the courts and police batons of citizens opposing the gross abuse of both international law and plain human decency. Evan Jones is a retired University of Sydney professor of political economy whose articles can be found at Counterpunch and The Independent Australian, among other places. Jones says he, quotes, began reading and writing about Palestine-Israel over 20 years ago with rising disgust over Israel's barbarism and the endless misrepresentation in the Western mainstream media. His recent piece at Counterpunch, Australia as Zionist-Occupied Territory, chronicles the Albanese government's reactive legal measures following the December Bondi Beach massacre. Welcome back to the program, Evan.
Thanks very much, Chris. Good to be here.
Well, it's my great pleasure to have you. And Evan, before getting to the point at hand, the breaking news, of course, is the Gaza flotilla arrests. I'm seeing video of people being abused by Israel's Minister of Security. The international activists were abducted in international waters by the IDF, the Navy. Has, Evan, Australia's Albanese government said anything about its nationals held prisoner and currently being abused?
Well, the Albanese government, a Labor government, by the way, supposedly left of centre, has totally ignored the issue, which is a typical outrage. I mean, here we have Israel breaking international law, and it highlights the unspoken ambiguity about the status of Gaza. Israel claims we don't own it, and yet clearly they own it lock, stock and barrel, in which any independent activity, indeed living decently, is forbidden by the Israeli occupiers.
Canada is similar in its relations with Israel. But even Mark Carney has released, the prime minister of this country, has released a statement. I'll quote some of it, only because it's so remarkable in the fact that the Canadian government has said anything. And it reads, "The abominable treatment of civilians aboard the flotilla, including that which is documented in footage shared by Itamar Ben-Gvir, is unacceptable. Canada's Minister of Foreign Affairs has directed officials to summon the Israeli ambassador to demand assurances regarding the safety and security of Canadians involved." And then it goes on from there. The video I've seen are physical abuse of restrained members of the flotilla, who are themselves, you know, many of them seem quite, well, I won't say old, but maybe on the older side of young.
Well, that's a great statement by Carney, and I'm surprised given that he's often weak-kneed, but nothing of that kind from Australian authorities at all. And of course, as you know, these people on the flotilla have been abused, physically beaten. Of course, an absolute disgrace.
Well, in the past two killed, the Mavi Marmara comes to mind, and yeah, 10 activists unarmed shot dead by commandos when they boarded a Turkish cruiser en route to Gaza in international waters again. And there's been a lot of talk about the synchronicity of international waters regarding Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, and a lot of bloviating, I'm sure, in this country for sure, but I'm sure also in Australia you've heard about this, the inviolable right of the passage, free passage on the ocean.
Well, that's another reflection of the gutlessness of our Labor government. They've been dragged into, willingly dragged into multilateral forces and bodies, especially that crazy lot in the Western Europe, to open and keep open the Straits of Hormuz. You know, just as Australia sucks up to the Americans in going into Iraq, Afghanistan, and so on. And so, you know, the lack of independence of our successive governments is a very distressing affair indeed.
Well, you've written about this very thing, and our original idea to speak was on the Royal Commission struck by the Albanese government. And this came in the wake of the attack in December last at Bondi Beach. Evan, can you remind us, because the public memory is so short, and it's been 6 months of a lot of stories, to be fair. What happened in Sydney last December?
Well, there was a celebration for Hanukkah organised by a Chabad Lubavitch takeover of the local Jewish community, and it was on the Bondi Beach, a highly secular location, but a father and son turns up and starts shooting at the crowd, and 14 Jewish members of that crowd were killed, an appalling situation. But since then, nobody whatsoever in Australia is looking at the relationship of that activity to the state of Israel and its horrendous crimes against the Palestinians. And indeed, what you'd call the anti-Semitism industry has just geared up for full-time activity in Australia, and it's going non-stop at the moment with a royal commission into anti-Semitism and, quote, unquote social cohesion, in which we get daily reports of Jewish people complaining about the entrenched anti-Semitism in Australia. It's an appalling environment at the moment.
Well, is that the case? I mean, there is Australia does have a reputation for a certain level of cultural intolerance, let's say, mostly regarding the Aboriginal population there. And I don't say that judgmentally. It's as bad in this country, Canada, I'm certain.
Well, clearly, you know, there's long been anti-Semitism in events in Australia. They've been minor before the 7th of October 2023, after which they've escalated. Some of them are very serious. Other reports, the statistics are all inflated. You know, someone writes, fuck Israel. It's labelled an anti-Semitic sign. It is true that Australia, you know, remains deeply racist about its indigenous population after years of trying to improve things. But in general, all the reports at the moment are about anti-Semitism. The media is complicit in avoiding dealing with Israel. Indeed, you know, when it's covered at all, it's really Jewish spokespeople who offer their opinions in the mainstream media. You never hear from a Palestinian. And since the so-called ceasefire, a lie, there's been zero reporting in our mainstream media about ongoing murders in Gaza, the West Bank, and the like.
Yeah, it's very similar in Canada, and the policing of demonstrations of solidarity towards Palestinians 2.5 years now into this current genocide are becoming more strictly policed, and the level of violence by the authorities against demonstrators has increased as well. Is that something that we're seeing in Australia too?
Yes, quite. There's been legislation raced through some states, but the courts have overturned some of that. So it's ambiguous at the moment, albeit strong legislation in Queensland is still in force. Arrests are being made on the basis of verbal statements, key phrases from the river to the sea, and globalise the intifada have now been made illegal, or what a farce, and claimed as instances of anti-Semitism, and people are in the courts at this moment over such statements. So it's a very repressive environment. There's a lot of the dissident media is out in force, but and some good lawyers, you know, were speaking out, but how much the dissidents get exposure and how much influence is still up for grabs.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Evan Jones. Evans is a retired University of Sydney professor of political economy whose articles can be found at Counterpunch and The Independent Australian, among other places. He says he began reading and writing about Palestine, Israel over 20 years ago with a rising disgust over Israel's barbarism and the endless misrepresentation in Western mainstream media. We're talking in and around his article at Counterpunch, Australia as Zionist occupied territory. How do we explain then, Evan, this idea of occupation of Australia?
Well, it's very difficult to understand. Unlike the US, you know, I don't think there's money being passed under the table. The political parties in Australia do not vote as in the US as individuals, so you can't bribe individuals as APAC does in the US. So it's just a pressure. I mean, there are substantial donations from Jewish community to the political parties, but you know, they're just no different from donations from corporations and the like. I don't think the donations themselves It's very difficult to understand, but it's a non-stop pressure behind the scenes. The media facilitates it. We have the Murdoch media, of course, with the tabloids in almost every capital city in Australia, and on the TV, Sky News. Murdoch media is hysterically pro-Israel, hysterical, and it's non-stop. I mean, as for the Jewish community itself, it exists in a kind of a self-made ghetto. The socialization of its children takes place in Jewish schools. Every Jewish school in Australia has in its motto, mission statements, love of Israel. They send the kids to Israel. Pressure for endogamy, marrying within the fold. At the university level, the Australasian Union of Jewish Students is Zionist, departments of Jewish Studies, mostly supportive of Israel. So it's a cocoon of socialization and reinforcement, and they're out there proselytizing, pressuring, lobbying, suing dissident Australians and getting their ideas into the media on a non-stop basis.
Well, what about in your field? We see it's difficult for academics now if they don't toe the line on Israeli policies that they could lose, even losing tenure. Is there a sense within academia in Australia a fearfulness of something like that there? Is that happening?
There's a Two academics at Sydney University are currently being sued at the instigation of university Jewish staff. That's in the courts. It's a total farce. But in general, it's still early days in Australia. There's still freedom at the university level. Students have been totally repressed. All the pro-Palestinian campouts and demonstrations have been suppressed. The vice chancellors and the heads of the university have been bought off. A lot of universities have accepted the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which is a farce. But in general, nobody's being sacked, or no academics being sacked or disciplined. It's still pretty good, but it doesn't look good in the immediate future because the Zionists have academics in their sights. The Julian Siegel reports and lobbying all want to censor academics and have them sacked if necessary.
Well, and the IHRA is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, and then it wrote up, I guess, the new rules of what anti-Semitism is, and that is something that they've attempted to put into legislation in various places here in Canada as well, and it's been adopted in some jurisdictions. What's the reaction in Australia been to the recrafting of laws, the rights of the many? There's one statement saying the Royal Commission is not the beginning or the end of what Australia must do to eradicate anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism and racism generally is a loathsome thing. We can almost all agree, but do we want to criminalize our society in an effort to eradicate something? What does eradicate mean? Does it mean doing what Israel is doing to the Palestinians, for example? Is that the kind of eradication that the Australian government is calling for?
The anti-Semitism industry is pushing this line that anti-Semitism is deeply entrenched in everybody. It's always been there. It's got an appalling history, and we've got to rub it out by propaganda, socialization, education in the schools, and if that fails, by censorship and sackings. But the thing is that the propaganda is such absolute crap because Israel isn't there. It just there's no. Insofar as they mention Israel, the lobby is still talking about it's a sovereign right of Jews for self-determination, blah 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 blah. Ironically, there's 11,000 Israelis living in Australia at the moment, and they clearly have their, as far as they're concerned, Australia's a promised land, not Israel. The one thing I did want to say is that the IHRA definition, as you would know, it's all about Israel. More than half of the statements of what constitute anti-Semitism relate to criticism of the state of Israel. It's transparently a giant fraud. And in large sections of the international Jewish community, especially Jewish so-called experts, specialists in the Holocaust, etc., they themselves decry. Even the one of the co-authors of the IHRA definition decries it. So I'm hopeful that there'll be an ongoing fight about that definition and behind it, what that push means for legitimizing Israeli barbarism. It just can't go on like this.
Has the Australian government come out to reassure Australians that this kind of interference in the legal interference is...
Well, no, it's that in that at that level, the level of governments, it is depressing and pessimistic in the extreme. The Labor government has shown no courage whatsoever regarding anything to do with Israel. I mean, it has made token gestures recently in the United Nations recognition, formal recognition of a Palestine state, but has done nothing to work towards it. There's a lot of, very good statements by dissident media and good people behind that, but how much of that media gets broader exposure, I don't know. Nobody's tackling these. The Royal Commission itself has formally adopted this ridiculous definition, even though the head of the commission is a distinguished judge. God knows why she agreed to do it. Yeah. So the thing is that anti-Semitism is the current overall umbrella propaganda mechanism to avoid looking at Israel. So there's going to be a long fight over that. But the IHRA thing is so preposterous. I mean, it just can't go on forever, it seems to me.
Well, your government promised soon after the shootings in December to introduce new laws to criminalize hate speech and hate preachers, it says, as well as deliver tougher gun laws. Is there any indication that that is happening? I know that they're still talking and they're holding the commission, but has the commission put forward any recommendations that we could look at and analyze?
Well, there was an interim report at the end of April, totally vacuous. They're still looking for why this father and son developed the ideas they did and how they got away with pulling off the massacre. They're querying the capacity of the intelligence services and to pursue such people. There's constant pressure to harden repressive intelligence laws, which the government is currently supportive of. And there's long-term effects, attempts to control gun ownership, but that started in Australia with the Port Arthur massacre, of the anniversary of which just passed. That's still an ongoing affair, and lots of blowback against that from farmers, etc., and a lot of illegal guns. So I don't think the gun ownership thing is ever going to be resolved. The fight's going to be over repressive legislation and getting rid of this damn anti-Semitism plague that inhibits free speech. I mean, the very label hate speech is a joke. You're not allowed to hate a foreign brave country. The whole thing's preposterous, and that from the river to the sea should mean or globalise the Intifada should mean a desire to wipe out the state of Israel and all its Jewish population is also preposterous.
Well, how much, Evan, do you think that this is just a stalking horse for controlling or leading around by the nose the Australian government on other issues by the United States, for example, that we've seen for a few years now, Australia make some pretty baffling decisions regarding its relations with China, its biggest trading partner, cutting off its nose despite its face in a lot of sense.
No, they're not linked. The anti-Semitism thing is just isolated to the Israel lobby. It's quite separate, but the broader issue that you highlight is Australia's long-term subordination to American imperatives, which has been there since the Second World War and Australia's dependence then, and it now carries on regardless of whoever's in power in the US. So the American subordination is the crucial connecting link, with the Americans constantly pressuring Australia on its relationship with China and the Asia-Pacific in general. As you say, China is Australia's dominant trading partner. It's imperative that Australia relate politically, socially to Asia and to China in particular. So that's an ongoing battle. But getting rid of the American influence in Australia is probably even more dramatically difficult than getting rid of the influence of the Zionist lobby on Australian governments.
In Canada, there's been charges of foreign interference, mainly by China, but other foreign actors in our political process. Of course, none mentioning the biggest influencer of all, America, and Israel is pretty large too. I would think that would be a sensitive topic in Australia as well. With, you mentioned in your article, the 1975 Whitlam Labor government coup, and this is where essentially the United States dictated who was going to rule via the Buckingham Palace, but they dictated who was going to govern Australia.
Well, yeah, the Labor Party knows that in its innards, and they're very conscious that in the last resort, such an event might happen again. So that reinforces their long-term subordination. That it's a long fight over that one.
You've got a hard stop, I know. Thanks a lot for coming on again, Evan. I hope we didn't hash it too much. My mistake for the last time. I want to also thank my first guest, Susan Blackman. And that's all I got for this week. Until the next time.
To Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.